Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 97. Welcome to the year in review episode. That's right, guys. We're going to talk about everything 2020. We're going to run down movies, TV shows, everything that that went on. And of course, like always, we do this every week with Kane. How you doing over there, my friend?
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. You know, we knocked out a couple of things last night for the midnight movie show for you. We got knocked out the Wonder Woman review for Wonder Woman 84, which will drop tomorrow morning, by the way, folks. So if anybody is interested, hasn't gotten a chance to watch it, has listened to some of the questionable reviews out there for it, go ahead and check it out, and you'll hear what we had to say.
Questionable reviews. Like how you
well, there were some I felt that were questionable. You know, I think just a little bitterness out there.
Yeah, just a tad.
And then also on Wednesday, we will have our ending of the Infinity Saga that we've been doing all year long.
Yeah. Began all the way in January, and we finished the last one last night, which was Endgame, and that's it for the theme of the year, I guess. And new stuff is ahead for Midnight Movies next year.
That's right. So. Now, guys, with New Year's coming up, I have read online, I think it's if you start the Infinity Wars at like 9 p.m. and like 30 something minutes, if you watch it with the second that Tony snaps his fingers, it'll hit midnight. So look that up online. I meant to find it so I could give you guys the right time. So if you want to do a watch along New Year's Eve, because I don't know how many of you guys are going to be going out and, rocking out with the mask out. So, so you guys just, you know, if you are interested, try that out. I might attempt it myself.
Yeah, I think I might do that also. You know, I'm not going to go anywhere from New Year's. I'm just going to stay here in my humble abode and stay safe and all that stuff. You know, too much craziness going on outside in this crazy, crazy world that we live in.
That's right. So what we're going to do, guys, like I said, we're going to do a year review. We're going to run down TV shows, movies that we've seen, some we haven't seen. Maybe I'm sure there's a handful Kane's seen that I haven't, and I know vice versa. Also television series, like I was saying, once we feel our, you know, we were really good that we enjoyed. And then of course, also the, movies again. And then of course we're going to have to start off like we do, you know, unfortunately we had to do this a few times. We're going to run through some deaths. We're going to call these the remembrance phase of the show, so that we were going to talk about those that have passed. There are so many folks out there that have passed. These are guys that, and girls that have fallen into our genre or our niche of what we cover, not taking away from anybody that's passed away from COVID. There has been more deaths from, you know, this year from that than this small group of celebrities that we're going to just recognize. But again, you know, we're here for kind of following that path, and we want to recognize them for their time and everything that they did here, you know, in their genre for us.
So, Indeed, but
definitely, guys, not a slight to anybody that has had friends or family that have passed throughout this year, because it's been a hard year for everybody out there. I don't know anybody that has not been somehow touched by the plague that will not be named.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, lots of people. Just a tough year, but got to try to plow forward somehow.
Yep. So what we're going to do, we're going to honor some of them that have passed. Again, like I said, the ones that are kind of in the areas that we end up talking about quite a bit. And of course, where we're going to start off at the beginning of the year, we lost, I grew up watching him. I'm pretty sure Kane is, because we both are wrestling fans. But the beginning of the year, the first one that I came up was Rocky Johnson, the father of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the soul man. He passed on January 15th at age 75. I got a chance to see him last year at a convention that I went to. And so it was really cool to, you know, to see him there. We also lost Max von Sydow, Oscar nominated. Yeah, Star Wars, Game of Thrones, and of course, Kane's favorite, Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon, baby. Ming the Merciless.
He passed away March 8th at age 90. We did have this gentleman. It falls under as he was there for a lot of things, but he wasn't on screen that much. But he was a dialect coach for actors from Star Wars, Viggo Mortensen, Christian Bale, Robert Downey Jr. He was also in Star Wars as Major Emat. So he was there for the you know, for that, but died of he was one of the few that actually died on the on here from the complications of a coronavirus. I was noticing a lot of folks that had passed here weren't. I was surprised at how many did not pass with that. Next
was
one
was about a quarter of them.
Not even a quarter of that. Okay. Yeah. Next one is Logan Williams, actor who played young version of Barry Allen on the CW's Flash. Died very young age at age 16.
Did they find out what he died of yet?
I don't know. I didn't delve into everybody. It just says
that. Okay, I'm just wondering because that was for a while. They said he undisclosed death. It's been a while, so I'm wondering if they found out.
Unfortunately, I didn't do my due diligence because this list was a little hefty. So, again, another WWE alum. I know he's a Hall of Famer as well, or if he is not, he should be. WWE announcer, the Fink, Howard Finkel, passed away April 16th at age 69.
Oh, he was young.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Still young, wow.
Next one is Ian Holmes, actor best known for his Lord of the Rings, Chariot of Fires, and Alien, died of Parkinson's disease. June 9th, Galen Gorg, the actress who played roles in Twin Peaks, Star Trek, RoboCop 2, Point Break, Mantis, and Lost.
Mantis.
She died again at early age. She was battling with breast cancer or cancer. Died at 55. A great director, had a few hiccups on his way, but we still love him to death for the movies that we do love. And I do love some of his bad ones. It's still Joel Schumacher, director of Lost Boys, Falling Down, and two Batman movies. We'll just leave it at that and won't name it. Passed away at 80.
He was 80. Wow.
Yeah. He was working quite a bit in his later years. One that hit home, hit a lot of people and surprised a lot of people, especially in the things that we talk about our niche that we like to talk about, Chadwick Boseman, best known for T'Challa and Black Panther, Jackie Robinson in 42. And was it 42? That was the Bridge one. Like just before he passed, they released.
Oh, that was year. Was it 19 Bridges or 18 Bridges? Or something?
Yeah, that was
21 Bridges. I think it was 21 Bridges. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really good one. But he did, 43, a little bit younger than us. He was battling that unbeknownst to a lot of people. He had been battling a 4-year long battle with a colon cancer.
Yeah. Nobody knew. That was the shocker. I mean, talk about privacy. That guy, he didn't reveal much about anything, I think.
And the great thing was he would go to the Make-A-Wish and meet the children going through.
Yeah.
He wouldn't show anything, any sign of
I think it wasn't until that video popped up of him that people started thinking something was wrong. Like, ooh, he looks very thin. And then it was like, oh, he was like, I'm just doing it for a role. And then, after that, it was a couple months after we got the news. Yeah. So that's another hard one.
Then we lost Diane Rigg, actress best known for playing Emma Peel in The Avengers and also in roles in Game of Thrones, if any of you Throne heads are out there, as well as James Bond. We lost another WWE alumni, Joseph Laurinaitis, also known as the Animal for the Road Warriors, died at 60. For a wrestler, I will have to say that is very old for a wrestler. When people think of wrestlers, a lot of them feel that they pass earlier than that.
Usually in their 40s.
40s and 50s. 40s, just 50s. The stuff they go through. I mean, it's not about, the steroid issues or anything like that, but it's just what they put their bodies through a lot. I mean, it's
pounding. Like, it wasn't until recently they discovered all this stuff with concussions. I mean, you think about concussions, those guys must have went through tons of them and not even got even, diagnosed. So that's a lot of wear and tear on a body. So.
And then, of course, Mr. Eddie Van Halen, for any of you metal guys out there. He is widely regarded as probably one of the greatest guitar players of all times. I have him and a few I have in my Mount Rushmore of guitar players. And
he has to be in the Mount Rushmore of any guitar player.
If he's not age 65, going through everything he'd been going through, he went through throat cancer. I think he had already recovered from tongue cancer. A few years earlier. So, he had some bad things. They were equating it to, I guess, what he was saying is like the tongue cancer that he got. And he thinks that's where the throat cancer came from was the picks. Because if anybody ever seen him, he used to play his guitar, put a guitar pick in his mouth and play his guitar. And apparently it was something with the guitar pick material that he used. He used like a metal pick.
And, really?
Yeah. And he was saying that he thought that that's probably what it was because the place where his tongue cancer hit, where he had to get it removed, was mm-hmm. where he would rest the guitar pick.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought he was like a chewer or something. That's
no, he was a heavy smoker. My ex-wife actually used to babysit Wolfgang years and years ago, even before I even knew her. Yeah, she used to babysit Wolfgang, you know, when he was a baby. But you know, he was a pretty heavy smoker. And again, of course, you know, anybody knows they back in the day, you know, they were pretty heavy drinkers as well. But yeah, I mean, age 65, passed away on October 6th. Next one really was a big hit for us. I mean, we'd already lost a James Bond alum, but here we go to lose our, you know, James Bond himself, the Sean Connery, which, I mean, that's an argument to behold. We're actually going to have that argument later this year.
We're going to have it. Yeah.
We're going to have a James
Bond. Long awaited.
Yep. We're going to have a James Bond month where we're going to sit down and you know, go back, you'll pick the best movies of all the Bond ones and just do a watch along and figure out the best one. But yeah, we lost Sean Connery at age 90. I mean, amazing. Of course, you know, you guys know him from James Bond, but Indiana Jones and Last Crusade, The Rock, Untouchables, Highlander. You know, if you guys believe Ricky Bobby, you know, the best movie ever, you know, ever made, one that won the Oscar for it, in fact.
Yeah.
Next one.
Hey, I love that.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Name Vice Lias.
So David Prowse, actor Darth Vader. I mean, you talk about we just lost one of our heroes we grew up with. Now we're losing our villains. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, you know, it seems like we've always been losing our heroes. Now we're slowly losing our villains. And I don't know if I'm sure you're the same way I am. It's a lot of people are. It's not only the heroes that make you. It's the villains you grew up with too.
Yes.
But yeah, we lost him lost David Prowse at age 85. Then we lost Tommy Tiny Lister, Tebow, and Zeus from WWE for a very short period at age 62. And next one is Jeremy Bullock, Boba Fett. We talked about him last week, the original Boba Fett. A very poignant time for him to leave when Boba Fett is now becoming a iconic, even more iconic character.
Unbelievable. Can you believe that? Like at the end, would you have thought of that when the Mandalorian series began, that now, like at the ending of 2020, we're talking about Boba Fett, the Mandalorian, in the same echoes as Jedis and Sith. It's amazing how people have responded to this series. I mean, I love it from the beginning because I always wanted, this is the Star Wars I always wanted, but just amazing. Like it's how it's hit pop culture. I think Baby Yoda helped too, but you know,
Baby Yoda was the one that definitely opened up the door for the non Star Wars folks. Like I can tell you for a fact that I have a lot of folks from work that like Star Wars, and they'll be like, oh yeah, I'd enjoy watching that. But if it wasn't for the fact of Baby Yoda and the memes that came out, they're like, what is this going on? And then they jumped in and then they're like, oh, wait a second, bump the brakes. This is actually something fun. And you don't have to be a Star Wars sweaty to appreciate the man, you know, Mando. You can appreciate it for going, oh, I remember Star Wars. Oh, look, a TIE fighter. That's cool. Oh, next wing. Hey, look at that. You know, just little things that they would remember. And
yeah, they give the fans what they want while still moving forward. Yeah. Which
well, not I about, like. But it's not just about the fans. It's the casual fans, like the super uber casual fans. That's how you hook. You know, we're going to go no matter what. I mean, we are all Star Wars. You and I, Star Wars fans, our friends are all Star Wars fans. Our community is Star Wars fans, but it's the way you hook the non Star Wars fans. Not, you know, we're going to stand out in the middle. We're going to stand out the night before or the night of and go see Star Wars. All right. We're going to go run out and get the next, you know, comic book that comes out for Star. We're going to go do that. We're guaranteed money to them. The magic is getting the casual fan or the fan that's been gone for 20 years because they didn't like the prequels. And they're bringing that fan back, you know, that to me, that's a big thing. We have a friend of ours that's, you know, probably a little bit more hooked in. They're getting their clogs hooked into him a little bit more because he's been disappointed with the last series of movies. Wasn't a big fan of the prequels. I heard he beat up a trash can after watching the first prequel movie.
That's what I heard. I heard stories about that.
Yeah. So, but, and then he wasn't a big fan of the sequels and wasn't really never got into the expanded universe until now.
Yeah.
I mean, he started getting more into, I was surprised that his knowledge of the expanded universe came from the Star Wars.
I think he game. Hid that fact from you. I think that's what it was. I think he had it and you just brought it out in him. He just had it like,
no, it was a game. game. No, he told us it was a mobile game that he was playing, and it's kind of cool because it'll give you a rundown of what the character is about. So that was kind of cool. But you know, so like I said, I think that's what the Mando's doing. And then of course our last death of this of the year, just recently, in fact, former WWE, now AEW wrestler John Hubbard passed away, age 41. And if not, nobody is aware, Luke Harper or Mr. Brody Lee is what he used to go by. But apparently from his wife, just he was having some, it's a non-related COVID issue, but he was having lung issues for the last couple of weeks, having issues breathing. That's why he hadn't been in on TV on AEW.
It's a shame, too, because I just thought he started hitting his stride. Mm-hmm. As his character in AEW, like he was given the opportunity to make this character, or in WWE he wasn't. I mean, I don't want to go into the whole thing, but it just looked like he was making something that was going to last.
Yeah,
it's a real shame.
It is. Yeah, he was being treated by the folks at the Mayo Clinic, so definitely something that wasn't being ignored. He was definitely trying to treat him, get everything settled down. So
yeah, that's just a bummer way to end 2020. Let's just hope we don't lose any more lives going forward.
That's right. We got a few more days, so let's not jinx ourselves. So. Next one we have, that is our deaths. And again, we're going to give a big bag of wind to every single one of those people. They all some way touched our lives, whether just by entertaining us or giving us, hope, or, just being an icon in their certain genre that may have gotten somebody to, that made somebody feel better about themselves. I can't tell you how many stories I hear about, musicians or actors saying, a fan came to me and told me, I was the reason that they were able to get through this because they were able to sit down and watch my TV show, or they were able to sit down and watch my movie series, or something along those lines. So, definitely, yes, these folks had passed away, and they, and we have had a lot of deaths here, but I know these folks touched a lot of hearts. And, I can speak for me as a WWE fan, losing Finkel, the Fink was a huge one for Inca, because he's like JR for me. When you think of announcers, the Finkel is the ring announcer. I always think of when I know we had Lillian Garcia there through the Attitude Era, and she was something special. But
Lillian was good, but she was never Fink.
Fink had
something about him, man. It's just like one of those things. If you ever watched the old WrestleMania, especially I think WrestleMania 3, when he was doing the Pontiac Silverdome, and you could hear that voice announcing all these matches, I was like, wow, you know what? That's what I'll miss. Just the big game feel that he made it had. I mean, even before Buffer was around, that was the Fink. So that's the way I look at it, Big bang went to the Fink,
man. Yep, for everybody. So now we're going to move on to 2020 movies. Did you get a list at all, or did you make a list, or what's your...
I didn't get a list. I was waiting for a list.
You got to do your own homework. Don't copy off mine.
Sorry, man. I guess I'm just going to have to go off memory.
Then. Well, just go off of like movies that stood out for you. Like, I mean, if anything I say, I kind of picked out the ones that were like, the romantic comedies and things of that
you
nature.
You picked out romantic comedies?
No, I picked them out of the list, not picked them.
I was going to say, did you pick them out?
I took them out of the list. Yeah. So basically we were starting off January 3rd last year. Or this year, sorry. I'm hoping it's going away quickly. So, we started off with The Grudge. So this would be the remake of The Grudge. Did you get a chance to watch it? Because I know you're the...
Yeah.
What'd you think, man?
It was awful.
Awful.
I hated it. It sucked, man. I'm sorry. That's one of those things, what's the one that saying that I heard? Whatever stays dead, whatever is dead should stay dead.
Yeah.
No, I heard that in Supernatural or somewhere else. Whatever's dead stays dead. That should have stayed dead. It should have stayed dead. It was just not... It just felt like they were just trying to revive something that was gone, and I just did not enjoy it at all.
I sort of heard the same thing about the Craft that came out later this year. That's in my list, heard the same thing that they're trying to do it, and it's one of those things that the 90s babies are now feeling the pain of seeing their toys and the things that they love so much getting played with by Hollywood and not being as good as the original. I think that there's a few movies in here that definitely fall under that that category Hollywood should just be should know to leave well enough alone, move forward,
create something new. Don't please just don't do it.
Next one we had was the third one of the trilogy, a long ass trilogy, but Bad Boys for Life. Did you get a chance to watch?
I dug it. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I didn't think I was gonna like it. I was like, man, here's another one. They hadn't made Bad Boys 2 or whatever it was a long time ago. This is going to suck. But somehow they managed to keep that same feel and move it forward.
Yeah, cool.
You know, that's one of the things we've always talked about when you bring something back after a while.
Yeah.
They kind of just like poo-poo it and they say, oh, you know, what happened back then never happened. This one brought it back, but then they add another element to move it forward.
Well, with those, you're keeping the same cast, though. That's the thing. It's when they do what you just described is when they're bringing in a different cast and then they forget about the, you know, the prior.
Here's the thing. I'll give you an example. In the movie, they brought together this kind of like SWAT team thing, and I thought I was going to hate them, but I actually liked all of them. I was like, oh, these are cool. I like these characters. Hopefully we can go forward with them. And they introduce, you know, spoilers, you know, Will Smith has a son from some, you know, Colombian drug lord lady. And, you know, I guess he might be a factor in the movies to come. So it's just like all the new characters they brought in, I dug. I didn't like the fact they killed the captain, but, you know, you got to, you know,
got to do that. I mean, they, you know, they almost did the same thing to in Beverly Hills Cop. You know, they almost killed him off, you know, borderline to him during the, I think it was the third one where he had to go to the mock-up Disney World.
Oh, was it Moose World?
Wally World was what was the vacation movies.
Oh,
yes. Next one is Doolittle. That was the first movie in a while that we've seen from Robert Downey Jr. taking on the Doolittle role. Didn't get a chance to see it because I really, it was one of those things I heard way too many bad things about it from. I heard some bad things from about it from the right people, not just the reviewers or anything like that.
Didn't bother.
Yeah.
Just didn't bother. Just heard like too much. There was just too much negativity. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even gonna.
And I've been a big fan of his Sherlock Holmes movies. So I was kind of
surprised. I like those movies. Yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't even knocked the door for the third one yet. They've talked about it, but they haven't done anything with it. It's just kind of odd. Like I would think, you know, if you're done with the MCU,
I think when he finally got done with everything, I mean, Doolittle just came out and then we got hit with COVID. So I'm pretty sure a lot of things, you know, we all know a lot of things got pumped.
Yeah,
the brakes got pumped. Unless they were already started in it and there was money invested, they're continuing. But anything new really got their brakes pumped until just this fall where we're starting to now hear, hey, yeah, we are starting production with this or this or this. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I don't want, you know, Downey to be remembered just for Tony Stark, which, you know, that's great. But, you know, he can do other things. He can do Sherlock Holmes, you know.
Yeah,
he's done good films in the past. I mean, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I mean, he did Chaplin. So he's done some good films.
When you look back at his life and his you know, career, nobody's going to say he was just Iron Man.
He will be remembered
more for Iron Man, but... You know, the rest is there.
I just hope he has like one of those Michael Keaton revitalizations on the indie scene where, you know, he didn't hear from Keaton for a long time. He's like, I'm not going to be batting no more.
Give it about 10 years. We got to wait. We got to let him get off his high right now. He's on his Batman high as Keaton was. So we got to let him kind of fizzle down a little bit, do a couple more Doolittles, let people forget him.
And then
he'll come up in something like amazing, maybe, you know, and everybody will go, oh, there he is. That's, you know, that's what he did. That's what he's known for. He was a great actor. Next one we had was The Gentlemen. I know you and I enjoyed that movie.
Loved it. loved it. Just I think I saw that movie once, then I saw it again and again. I never get tired of seeing it. I just love the whole. I love what's his name? Hugh Grant in that movie.
Yeah,
unrecognizable in that movie to me. I'm like,
oh yeah,
that's Hugh Grant. Like, damn, okay.
Yeah, I love that. There's a one clip that goes out there. I think it's from the scene when they're in the cafe and the punk ass kids are like messing with them or messing with the owners. I see that all over the place on Facebook, and it's great to see because that's a powerful scene to watch.
Oh man, and McConaughey was so good. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, I didn't think McConaughey had it in him to play like just sort of like a gangster. I was like, shit, like the minute you mess with his wife or any of his business, dude, you're dead. And he showed that side, like just terrifying. Like, yeah. Ooh, okay.
So it was a great movie, and it hit early in the year. I'm not sure if it got up for any awards, but if it didn't, it should have.
I hope it does. You got to give it to Hugh Grant or McConaughey, one of those two. Even what's his name, Charlie Hunnam wasn't bad for Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, he wasn't bad good. Either. Yeah. Next one after that was Gretel and Hansel. If anybody, it's just a retelling of the Hansel and Gretel story, but for some reason they wanted to put Gretel in the front to give them more female empowerment, and that's kind of what the movie itself had. But it was fun fantasy. You know,
I didn't see it, so you have to tell
that's
me.
I bought. Yeah, it was just fun fantasy. Nothing, you know. Okay. I can't, you know, go, ooh, look at that. Next one is in our first one in like the comic book realm of the year was Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, or Harley Quinn. Birds of Prey. You pick the title you like.
Just call it Harley Quinn. I don't know why they had him just that stupid title. Yeah. And,
but overall, I mean, it was a fun movie. It was not anywhere near comic accurate. The characterizations that they did for these already strong female characters. Like, I was offended that they would wussify. Again, that's a Michael comment or saying, but yeah, they wanted to make these empowering women. But they were already empowered women. If they just would have taken what they had already in the comic books and just brought that over and put a little twist to it, yes. To me, Renee Montoya was weak, and Renee's a badass in the comic books, in the cartoons. I mean, any time you've ever seen Renee Montoya, she kills it. And when you put a Rosie Perez on to play her, and then
that's bad writing.
That's just bad writing. Yeah,
you had the right actress in the role.
Oh yes.
Yeah, remember when we heard she was cast.
Yeah,
we were like, oh, this is great. She's gonna bring that spice. I was thinking White Man Can't Jump. I was like, oh man, she's gonna just knock this out of the park.
Yeah, but,
and she was just so, I'm gonna say, de-wussified, man. It was just so, just that's not Renee Montoya.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, just yeah, and they did, and not just her character, but they did it to all of them. Oh, every
the abomination of Stephanie Brown. Oh boy.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I mean, I like to see those movies where they're showing women empowered, because we need to see more of that, because there are those little girls out there. We've got some of our friends are female, you know, fans of this stuff, and yet they want to see that stuff. And I just feel bad when they produce something that's just weak from the original. That, you know, all these women that were in there hang with Batman. They go toe to toe right next to him. So obviously they're not weak, and they made them all weak. And I was not happy, just
pathetic little damsels in distress. I mean, Margot was great as Harley, of course. I mean, it's her freaking movie.
Yeah.
But you know, everybody else was just, even Huntress to a point was kind of bad, because she was barely in it.
Yeah.
Like everybody was there, but not there. Yeah, just a whole freaking mess.
Next one was Blumhouse Fantasy Island. Did you get a chance to finally watch that?
Yeah, I did. I did. I think I messaged you when I saw it. I was like, this is creepy.
Yeah, I love it.
It's like a horror movie.
I'm a huge Blumhouse fan, and if anybody has a Hulu subscription, Hulu's Into the Darkness, I think is what their horror section is called. It's chock full of some great Blumhouse movies. Yes, they're low budget, but they're really fun. And when I saw Blumhouse was doing Fantasy Island,
all their films are low budget.
Well, Fantasy Island wasn't. Now, you can't say all of them, because Fantasy Island wasn't a low budget.
I don't. Well, was Fantasy Island made for like $5 million?
I don't know. It still wasn't 10? Low budget. I mean, it's.
I'm not saying low budget as far as like a low budget, but it wasn't made for like $30 million.
No, I'm not saying that. But I just like when I say low budget, you can tell low budget. You can see the quality of the room, the quality of the film that they're using. Sometimes you can definitely see that. After Fantasy Island, we got what was sort of a bit of a controversial film that came out this year at the beginning of the year, but it kind of got fans kind of spoke up and were heard. But Sonic the Hedgehog came out.
I dug it.
Yeah, I dug it. It was fun. I thought, oh, great, we're going to see a revitalization of Jim Carrey, because I loved the way he played. I loved how he played
Robotnik,
the Doctor.
Man. Yeah. I thought he was great as Robotnik. I loved it. I was just like you. I saw the trailer. I was like, man, this is gonna suck. They had to change his eyes.
No, they had to change his eyes, his legs. They'd like to change the whole body because it looked strange. And I was like, all right, well, I guess. I mean, it's cool that, you know, the fans are being able to be heard, but sometimes we don't need to be heard. We just give us the stuff. Yeah, I'm a fan. There's sometimes I'm wrong. All right, I'll admit it.
Yeah, don't change a whole movie because of what I said, man. Yeah. Just do your own vision. But you know, the changes they made, I couldn't really tell, but hey, it was a fun little movie. Fun movie. That's what I told everybody. Yep. It's just fun. Watch it, give it a chance.
Yeah,
hopefully they'll continue on that road and make a sequel to it, because it was a fun little movie.
Next one came out, and then you and I both agreed on this one. I think another Blumhouse movie, The Invisible Man.
Really good.
Real good. I mean,
real good. I've been wondering, because I know that he's going to take over the Universal Monsters and put it in his world.
And after I saw, when I heard about the concept of the Invisible Man, I thought, okay, what's going to happen? Is it going to be a magic potion? Is he going to turn the guy naked? He run around, be something stupid. I was wrong.
Well, I mean, I'm a fan of the Kevin Bacon Invisible Man. And no, I thought they basically elevated that idea of an overpossessive boyfriend and just made it even darker.
And better.
I mean, just the way it begins puts you on edge instantly. You know, if nobody's seen it, you know, make sure, I think that is on Hulu as well. It's a part of the Blumhouse one. But
the concept of the how he became invisible, what he was using was freaking fascinating. If you guys haven't seen, I'm not going to give it away, but just really cool stuff.
Next one was Bloodshot. I enjoyed it. I know you had some issues with it. I think you just felt like it wasn't more as comic book accurate as you'd liked.
It just wasn't Bloodshot to me. I don't know why. I just had that, just like, you know, the whole story about
was it. Was it Vin Diesel? Because I think sometimes when I see Vin Diesel in something, he's too much into the Fast and Furious. He's too Fast and Furious for me. Every time I see him, I'm thinking I'm seeing, you know,
Dom Toretto.
Maybe
that was it, because I was like, okay, like, I like the effects. I like everything here, but it's Vin Diesel as Bloodshot.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so it's Dom Toretto. I mean, just call it Fast and Furious 11.
Exactly. And I think that's what it is. I think whenever I see him in a movie, I have to erase that part of my brain and say, okay, he's not Dom. This is him trying to be an actor and doing something else, you know,
but he just comes out as Dom.
He's still, because it's because that's his personality. I think Dom, if any character is close to him, I know he's a geek. He actually plays Dungeons and Dragons and plays on WoW. I do know that much. So, but I think his persona is so, he's done, what are those, seven of those movies, six of those movies as Dom in some form or fashion, whether it's a cameo. He's been in the public eye so much as that character, just like it's like we talked about Robert Downey Jr. He's been so much in a decade in the eyes of the public as Tony Stark and Iron Man. It's going to be hard for us to not see him as something else other than Robert shaving his, you know, goatee off and shaving his head and, you know, going complete opposite. But me personally, I enjoyed Bloodshot. I mean, it was definitely low budget. And I just had fun with it. Next Friday, March 20th, Pandemic Shutdown. Did you see it? This is the moment, guys. So that way you understand when we jump, we're jumping from March 20th all the way to May 15th. That is how long we had no movies released. That includes digital copies, anything online, nothing came out on Netflix new, nothing from the 20th to the 15th, almost 2 months of nothing.
Nobody left their house.
No. Yeah. So that is what we had during that time. So first one that comes out March 15th, that falls under our category. And this is a VOD. Kane's favorite form of entertainment, video on demand. and I told you to watch this, and I heard a little couple of grumbles when you're like, eh, Scoob. The animated version of Scooby-Doo, Scoob, came out, and I loved it. I thought it, what I told you about, anybody's ever listened to us before about my tirades on Ghostbusters and what remaking a movie when you don't capture the heart and the soul of the original one. That's all I raved about on this one, because they captured Scoob. Yes, it was for today's generation. Yes, it was more geared towards now, but just they captured the heart of the whole Scooby-Doo universe. They not only did Scooby-Doo, but they threw in the Hanna-Barbera, you know,
a lot of the Hanna-Barbera cast.
And not only just the Hanna-Barbera cast, but also if you look in the walls, you'll see some stuff from Hanna-Barbera, like, you know, like really deep cuts for people that, you know, in our age bracket, you know, we're like, oh yeah, I think there was a poster or a game for Hong Kong Fooey.
Hong Kong Fooey. I mean, a couple characters show up that I hadn't seen in a long
time. We get to see Captain Caveman. I mean,
that Captain Caveman was the wild one. That was crazy. I was like, and that, I think that was it Tracy something that was
voicing, oh, it was Tracy him? Morgan that did Tracy the voice Morgan, for Tracy. Yeah. Yeah,
I was like, okay, you know, I got it. And then we got Snibbly back and all that other stuff. It was It had a lot of heart.
Yeah, you're right about definitely. That. Yeah, definitely. I dug it. Next one, it came out. You and I both were not fans of this one, but it came out on Disney Plus for Artemis Fowl.
Artemis Fowl.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the young adult, like, entertainment. I'm not a fan of the books. Like, I can't get into young adult books, but some of the movies I can get into. And I was looking forward to this, and I was so disappointed. I was just like, what is this? This is horrible.
It was just so bad. And it's too bad, because you could see the world they had there. They were trying to build, and to go forward, there was something there, but it's just like the first one out of the gate was just so. Do you remember the movie Eragon?
Yeah.
That was supposed to be the beginning of a trilogy. Of
movies. Yeah, it's a trilogy book.
And they had books, and it was just so bad. They were like, screw it. And I think that's what happened to Artemis Fowl. They just messed up so royally off the bat. I was like, okay, this is just not going to happen. Yeah.
And then right after that, I did not see it, because I heard a lot of things about it, so I didn't watch it. But Hamilton came out on Disney Plus just a little bit after that.
Nope.
Did you know? It didn't appeal to me. I'm like, what is this? And so then the next one that would come out was Greyhound on Apple TV, a very brand new streaming service, Apple TV. If nobody's ever checked it out, it's got some cool things on there. A couple of my favorite shows are on there that I've always loved. The Long Way Round. If anybody's a motorcycle enthusiast, it follows Ewan McGregor and Charles Boorman as they travel around the country, around the world. And then also they go up and down on the from a top of England down to the Cape of Good Hope in Africa. So, but Greyhound came out, and it was with Tom Hanks, where he was playing a World War II captain of a cruiser. I thought it was good, being that it is a streaming service, and I mean the graphics were amazing. I thought it was way too short, to be honest. It was like an hour and 30 minutes. I'm like, this, I'm so used to like Band of
Brothers. Hour and 30 minutes, really?
Yeah. That's, yeah, it was really short. I'm used to like Band of Brothers, Saving Private Ryan, these long, drawn out.
Especially for a war movie. Yeah, that is really
And
short.
For Tom, being with Tom Hanks, you would think with his experience in that genre, I mean, he's, you know, not only did Saving Private Ryan, but, you know, Apollo 13, he was behind getting, a lot of the, some of the Apollo television series that you'll see out there. So, it was fun. It was, I just think it was too short and too rushed. And we got to see, Elizabeth Shue in there for you, Karate Kid fans. So she showed up there like at the very beginning as his wife or his fiance, I believe.
Oh,
okay. The next one, great, great show or movie, Old Guard on Netflix.
Yes.
With Charlize Theron. I mean,
that was really cool.
I got a chance to read like one volume of the book, and it was pretty close. But I mean, you're just basically following immortal men for hire, you know, assassins. And it's just it's really cool, very intense, and definitely left you wanting more.
Yeah, that. And I had no idea there was a book when I was watching it. And I saw that opening scene where they walk in and they murder all of them. Like, what? They're going to kill them all in the first? This is like, it's going to be a flashback movie? I was about to turn. I was like, oh, then one of them started moving. I was like, what? And I was like, oh, okay. You got me.
Then next one was actually a Hulu original, was Palm Springs. I don't know if you've watched this or not. It had I'm drawing a blank on his name. It had Andy Samberg and Akiva Schaffer. Akiva was the mom from How I Met Your Mother. And it's a really cool movie. It's based off of him finding a tunnel that basically Groundhog's Day, that he found this tunnel that basically resets the day. So he's been stuck doing this for a long time. And then you find out that another guy he got drunk with one night and they became friends. He showed him how to do it. And it doesn't matter where you are. You don't have to be in the cave for it to zip you back to reality. It just happens. And so he's just stuck in this loop and doesn't know what to do with his life. The other guy, the old guy, he figured out how to like appreciate his life and spend more time with his family. But every once in a while, he gets a bug up his butt and he comes back and hunts down Andy and shoots him, you know, kills him because he's just going to wake up the next day. But then Akiva gets trapped into the loop with him. So they start happening and it's a nice, cute little love story, but it's got a sci-fi twist to it. And I thought it was great, the humor in it and just the shit that they do. Like I said, it's very a la Groundhog's Day when you see just some of the fun that they have.
That's what I keep hearing. I have not watched it yet. So it's a poo-poo on me. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's
definitely
put
that on my queue.
Next one is, and this is for the international release. Yes, it got released later in the year for us, but internationally, Tenet came out, and pretty good movie. I liked it.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, it's like one of those ones. It's like I liked it, but I didn't like it at the same time. There was something off about it that just like kind of bothered me.
I think I like Chris Nolan. Always have been a Nolan mark for a long time. Oh, yeah. But I think this film, and guys, don't yell at me or whatever, but I think Nolan sometimes, and especially in a film like this, he's trying to be too smart for himself or trying to be a little bit too pretentious, I think, especially with a film like this. And like I said, I liked it, but I was like, you know, I don't know. First of all, it was way too long.
Yeah, that was one thing.
But all Nolan films are, I get that. But yeah, it's just like, it just, there's no explanation of here and there. I mean, I get it, but it's just, I didn't get it. It was like, I don't know. It's a movie that was trying to be too smart. And it just wish it was a little bit more simpler. Like, kind of, it moved at a certain pace, and then it was like, we're doing this, then we're doing that. Okay, what about that? Like, yeah. Oh no, we're here now. Like, oh wait, I had to remember what happened 45 minutes ago. Now, like, it just
very Memento. I mean, and I'm a huge fan of Memento, yeah, but yeah. Still, it was just like, and then also the backwards shooting of it. I'm like, okay, guys, that's,
yeah, that bugged me. I didn't get like, okay, well, there's
next one we had, and one you and I were huge loved about it. Bill and Ted Face the Music. We both loved it. And again, it's one of those moments we talked about, and we already kind of reiterated with Scoob. Bill and Ted recaptured that heart to, you know, for the original. Yes, they had, you know, the original actors there, but you also brought in the daughters, and those in watching them go off and doing their own adventure, they still captured and still held on to the original heart of the first two Bill and Ted's. Yeah, a great sequel, came out at the perfect time. We've already been trapped inside 6 months almost, and we just needed this. I know a lot of people, it brought a lot of people, you know, a little bit more uplifting feeling about their lives.
Yeah, it was just a good uplifting movie, and I dug it, man. It was nice seeing Bill and Ted back together. It was just cool. Yeah. It was really cool. I was just sad that they didn't get the original actresses to be back as their wives, but you know, that's a different story. So
next one is The New Mutants, the ending of, or what was the sort of the end, but also kind of the beginning of the Disney X-Men universe, but it was still from the Fox. So it didn't end up doing what it was supposed to do. Kind of disappointed. I know Feige did tell the director, you know, hey, you know, if this does make a mark, we're definitely going to push some more coming out. But I guess it didn't hit that level.
How long ago was this released? What, 2018, 2019?
Well, it was made, yeah, 2000, I think, beginning 2019. I think it was almost a while.
Yeah, they waited too long. I like the characters, though. But the movie itself, you know, it was okay.
Let's see. Next one was Mulan. Did you get a chance to watch Mulan?
No, I didn't pay $30 to see it. Sorry. Oh,
okay. Me either. next one, Enola Holmes. Did you finally get a chance to watch that?
Yeah, I saw it.
I loved it. I love her to death. I can't wait to see more of her and see what she can get into as an adult.
Yeah.
In movies. I know she's still only 17, 18. She's very young, yeah. but Miley Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
And, but I love the attitude, the breaking the fourth wall, talking and seeing, getting a chance to see Henry do something different than, you know, his Mission Impossible roles or, you know, him doing Superman, you know, actually hearing him in his real British accent, you know, was kind of,
I liked him as Sherlock Holmes. I just wish we got to see a little bit more of him.
I'm hoping maybe we will.
He's Enola Holmes, but yeah. You know, just the moments we got to see of him was pretty cool. And the freaking brother's a damn douche.
I mean, yeah. But I love their chemistry back and forth, how the other actor that played the other brother, that chemistry back and forth. And it was great to see, Helen Bonham Carter. Again, yeah. You know, she's looking great. So it's always great to see that. Next one is another Netflix movie, and I loved it to death. This one sort of is outside of our genre, but Hubie Halloween. Did you watch it?
Halloween? Yeah, I did. I loved it. It was cool. I dug it too. Like, again, they just, probably his best comedy he's done in a while.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I know Sandler's been really pushing to do drama. He had the, what was the one he came out earlier this year?
Uncut Gems. Yeah, was Uncut last Gems. Year, right?
Yeah, was it last year? I thought it was earlier this year.
Yeah, last year.
But you know that, and then he just this is a nice way for him to to not alienate his comedy fans. You know, there's a huge population of folks that still love Billy Madison and, you know, are huge fans of Happy Gilmore. And he pays tribute and pays homage to those past characters because you see a lot of throwback in this. And I love that fact that they did that. Of course, you know, I will rewatch and rewatch. I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen Grown Ups 1 and 2. So, you know, to see those characters return. And then hearing Shaq with a female voice was just even better.
Ridiculous. It was funny.
Then after that, we had Love and Monsters, which basically is, you know, monsters take over the world, but this boy and girl, you know, are trying to connect with each other, and he decides to go visit her. And I thought it was kind of a fun twist on a love story because it threw in a monster sci-fi feel to it.
Was it a Netflix film or was that a big
that
release?
That was a video on demand. It was one of those ones that was supposed to be out on this. Never did reach
I haven't seen that one yet. I heard good things about it, but I'll definitely check that out.
Maybe we had The Craft Legacy, which we already talked about.
Garbage.
Alita Battle Angel re-release. There's a lot of re-releases, so we're not going to talk about re-releases. Come Play. Did you see Come Play?
No, I didn't get a chance. It's on my queue right now.
Definitely want to watch that. That's an interesting thing. It's about a kid who has his autism, I believe he has. So he can't get out and talk to people. So his mom tries to reach out to other kids, you know, families, and to bring their kids over. But in the meantime, he finds this online story about this creature who needs a friend. And the creature befriends the little kid. And I mean, it's just some great jump moments and a really cool dark story. And I believe it's again, another Blumhouse movie, if I'm not mistaken. And next one we had was Freaky, with Vince Vaughn. Did you get a chance to check that one out?
Yeah. I love it. It was another cute movie. I thought it was going to suck, but I thought Vince Vaughn was the man in that movie. I'll just say that he was awesome. Like the way he was able to turn that switch to actually playing the girl to going back to playing the serial killer. Good. And the girl who was actually from Supernatural, which people don't even realize, she played Claire Novak in Supernatural. Now I guess she's getting her big push. She was really good in that movie too. So they both, you know, to do like a double-sided coin thing, double swap. It was basically
Freaky Friday with a horror twist.
Yeah, it's Freaky Friday horror. Yeah, that's basically what it was. But it was good. I liked it a lot.
Definitely fun. Fat Man came out same day with Mel Gibson playing.
We talked about that. That was a cool movie.
You know what I rewatched recently, and I was like, that's where they got the idea from it. Scrooged. The beginning of Scrooge starts off where Santa is in there, and some group's trying to come in and kill Santa, and Lee Majors comes in and helps him out. I was like, I bet you somebody was like, hey, that'd be kind of a cool idea as a movie, but instead actually have Santa Claus as the real badass. We watched Scrooge, the very beginning of Scrooge. That's they're showing a fake commercial with Lee Majors saving Santa because some terrorist group's trying to kill him.
I haven't watched that
Next one is Hillbilly Eulogy. The only reason I bring this up is actually a friend of ours or an acquaintance of ours was in it. One of our old karaoke singers. You remember Adam Murray?
The name sounds familiar.
He used to come into the Winchester. A big guy. Oh, he was there one of the nights that we had to separate some people.
Okay.
He was actually in Hillbilly Eulogy. It is on Netflix, so make sure you do check that out.
Okay, now I'm never gonna watch.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, check that. And next one after that, The Christmas Chronicle 2. If anybody had ever seen the original, this was a fun twist on it.
One's better still, but the second one still holds up.
I think I liked it a little bit more just because we had Mrs. Claus involved in there, you know, seeing.
Maybe, yeah, there was a lot more stuff. You learned about Santa and the North Poles. It was good stuff. I think from what I read, though, Chris Columbus said that's going to be Kurt Russell's last movie I read.
Well, he's going through chemo right now, so I don't think it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Then we have Pixar Soul. That just came out on this past Friday on Christmas Day. Great movie. Very cool Pixar movie. The way they do basically follows a guy that goes into heaven and he's finding out, you know, that he has to, you know, teach other souls you know, how to appreciate their life and find their spark in life. And I love when they're in heaven and basically all the souls up there, all the people that are in charge are all called Jerry for some reason. And they're basically wire characters, and they would make them. They're not actual characters. They're made out of like little wire. And it's just really cool to watch. The music's great. So make sure you do check that out. Disney Plus. And then of course, if you guys are interested, HBO has Wonder Woman 1984, which our review comes out tomorrow or today. So if you're listening to this on the podcast.
So check it out.
Yes. So check that out. We got about 10 minutes. I was going to do the TV list, but I want to give your opinion on, give me your top five television series this year. Top five. If you had five to say, hey, you know what? You need to watch top five that came out this year. Not that ended, not that had a second season. Well, yeah, no.
You're talking about new shows.
Then. Yeah, new shows that broke out that maybe, you know, you're looking forward to or you were happy to see.
I don't know if I watched any new shows this year, did I? Because I know a couple ones that I rewatched again that are new seasons, but I don't know any. What are the new ones that were out there? I don't recall.
Oh, well, let's see. We had Space Force from Netflix. Did you watch
Space I didn't check out Space Force.
All right.
I'm looking at the list now.
Did you watch Dracula? I know it's...
Yes.
Okay.
So yes, I did watch Dracula. Yeah, that was probably my favorite one of this year. I was, three episodes? I think it was three or four episodes. Like they were like an hour and change, but really good. I thought it was like a different version of Dracula that I hadn't seen before. Well, I had, but it's basically Bram Stoker's, but... They took it out of the past and brought it into the modern world, which I thought was kind of cool. So,
What about Hellstrom?
Hellstrom was a good series. Sucks they're not going to get a second season.
Yeah, that was
dug it a lot.
The one that I, and again another one that was really good, but is not going to be getting a second season, was Utopia on Amazon Prime with Rain
Wilson. I didn't get a chance to see that one.
Really good. Basically, it's about a graphic novel that gets released one time, you know, one run of the graphic novel. It's a collector's item, and it basically tells us the future. It's foretelling of, you know, things to come. And apparently there's a second novel version of that out there with more things to come. And it's very poignant to watch it now because it's talking about pandemics and diseases and government over, you know, taking over and all sorts of different, like, you know, really dark, you know, conspiracy theory type thing. So that definitely was a really cool show to watch. If you guys can get a chance to watch that. What about Picard? We got a chance to watch Picard this year.
Yeah, Picard was good as well. It was shockingly good. Couldn't believe they brought it back. Didn't think it needed to be brought back, but they brought it back and they modernized it a little bit. The ending to me was, you know, a little hokey, but, you know, other than that, I dug it.
Especially what about
the characters they brought back?
Do you get a chance to watch The Stand?
No, I'm watching the first episode now.
Okay, so
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm on it right now, literally.
All right, then let's just say the not new. Let's say what would be your top five that somebody had to see then.
Watch the last season of Supernatural. Watch the new season of Lucifer, I would say. What else came on this year?
I'm saying what would you suggest to people?
Watch Lucifer.
Lucifer? Give me five. Yeah, watch the season. Give me your top five.
I'll say Lucifer, Supernatural 2, Hellstrom 3, because I liked Hellstrom a lot, Picard 4. And this one series that I'm watching right now, it's on Netflix. I think it's Home Sweet Home. It's a Japanese series.
Yeah, I have heard of it, yeah.
Just came on recently. It's really good. I mean, if you can get to the subtitles, but basically these people are trapped inside an apartment building. And they find out that all these people are starting to bleed from their nose and they're turning into these mutated type of thing kind of creatures. And basically they got to, and it's going on outside while the main character inside is this regular kind of dude. He's trying to kill himself, but then he's discovering that maybe he's a bigger part of the world than he knows of. So it's, so far I'm two episodes in and I like it a lot. So cool. I will definitely do those five in that order there.
Definitely for me, Utopia. Like I said, I've really pushed for that one. The Boys, this season. I think for me, this season wrapped up everything. I know they're doing more seasons, but I think that they could have stopped right where they were at, and it would have like put a nice bow on the whole show itself. Mandalorian. I mean, I don't know how you missed that. so you, yeah. I don't know how you skipped Mando over anything else. Picard, I would definitely say. And the last one, it started off good, and now it's starting to go to tanky a little bit. But Discovery, it started off interesting. Uh-oh, the way it,
really?
Yeah, the way this season.
I'm on season two right now, so I'm not.
It's still keep going. You're still you know, doing okay. But I just think there's a little twist on it. And then I think the last one for me would have been the animated Transformers that we got this year, yeah. Early this year, I thought was really good. It's a good way of,
which I think we're getting season two this year.
We should be getting a trailer to season two, again, another one here soon. And then I think it dropped February. No, it was like last year. I remember it kept pushing back and pushing back and pushing back. It was supposed to drop January, then February, then March. I think we finally got it in April.
Okay. I thought it was going to drop this week for some reason. Maybe it's something else I'm thinking.
Well, we will actually see what's going to drop next week, because next week, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a slow ass week in the news as far as anything that we're going to talk about. So what I'm planning is next week, guys, we're going to do what are we looking forward to for 2021? Because next Sunday will be our first show for 2021. So new year, we're looking for to move forward and make the, you know, make positive things going through on the world. Because after this year, we all need positivity. So next week, we're going to get a list together of what are we looking forward to, what movies are coming out, are scheduled to come out. We're not holding our breath on what's coming out, yeah, but movies and television series that we're really looking forward to. And then also there's a big run going on with DC getting ready to make a huge change of what was it called? Forward?
Future State.
Sorry. It was, yeah. So Future State. So we're going to talk a little bit about Future State and, you know, things to look forward to, because DC is going to try to shake things up for them. But yeah, so make sure you guys do check that out. We are going to be dropping two episodes, like I said, on the Midnight Movies. So make sure you do check those out tomorrow and then also Wednesday. And make sure you guys can check us out at podpage.com for Heroes Asylum and Midnight Movies, and also podpage.com for Heroes Asylum. There you can sign up for all of our different podcast systems that you guys use. And Kane, what else we got?
Before we sign off, there's two animated movies we forgot this year, Superman Red Sun and Justice League Apocalypse War, which were also badass. So if you guys didn't check that out, especially Justice League Apocalypse War, do check that out. I love that movie. But going forward, Twitter at the Heroes Asylum page, Heroes Asylum_podcast page. Yes, Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. Check out Midnight Movies. New episode is going to drop this week, the ending of the trilogy and the beginning of something anew for 2021. So as always, from Mike to me to you to everybody else, get to the asylum. Bye, everybody.